Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text this evening is from 1 Peter chapter 3. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is the text. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. With the school year drawing to a close, I only have 2 more days to teach religion class for the 6th grade class over at St. James, as I've done throughout this third trimester. And they have been prodding me for weeks to talk about demon possession. So this past Monday, because I've been promising, oh yeah, we'll talk about it before the end of the year, but we had other, you know, bigger things to talk about, you know, like Jesus rising from the dead and things like that. On Monday, we finally dealt with it, but probably not in the way that they were expecting. This was not a recounting of the movie The Exorcist or anything like that. We talked about how your body is a house. Jesus describes your body as being an empty house without a spirit. And the Bible speaks of 3 spiritual options for the house of your body. The first option is for you to remain all by yourself. Remain an empty house. I and I alone own this body. It's a very popular view in our world today. Paul says in Galatians 5, those who are ruled by the flesh have the desires of the flesh, which are against the spirit, and the works of the flesh are evident. And he gives a whole list of what those works are, and those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Galatians chapter 5. It's like what Jesus says in our gospel reading. The world, your flesh, on its own cannot receive the Spirit of truth. But you know him. He dwells in you. And he will be, and he will remain in you as Christ promises. Thankfully, you are not an empty house. Being an empty house is not the best option, because as Jesus says in Luke chapter 11, without the Spirit of God dwelling in you, your body is an empty house in which an evil spirit may come and inhabit and decide to stay. And yes, by the way, this remains a major problem in the world today. The pastors of the Lutheran Church of Madagascar, which is a bigger church body than the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, they deal with this all the time, because inviting spirits into your body is standard practice among the pagans in that culture, in Madagascar. That's what they do. They as part of their pagan religion, they invite spirits to inhabit their bodies, and it's frightening to see video of this. It truly is. And then to see the exorcisms that they take place, which, you know, they have videoed this at an LWML rally. It was the scariest LWML rally I ever went to. It was when I was still a pastor in Pena, and they were showing this, and it was like, wow. But it was not something that was totally unknown to me, because I have known 2 pastors, one of whom was a classmate of mine. One of his children I am godfather for. I mean, this is a very good friend of mine. I know 2 pastors, he and someone else, who have both dealt with this personally within their pastoral ministry. Our sophisticated modern society doesn't want to consider this as a reality, but it is real. It is dangerous to be an empty house. The best option, and really the only good option, is for your body to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. So long as the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you, you have no reason to fear any other spirit entering your house. That was the point I was trying to make to the sixth graders. No demon, not even Satan himself, can reach into you and pull out the Holy Spirit. There is no room for you in your house. Have confidence in that Spirit of truth. Well, this brought us to another question. How do I know that the Holy Spirit is in me and I'm not an empty house? And what if I don't feel very full of the Spirit today? Well, what does Peter say? He says, baptism now saves you. Don't put your confidence in yourself, in how you feel today, in how you feel any day. Because how you feel is going to change from day to day. And you're not going to feel very full of the Spirit every day. But we have one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all who does not change from day to day. And the grace of God that you have received, it has come to you from outside of you. The Word of God joined with that water hits you in the face, and baptism now saves you. Not as a removal of dirt from the body. Baptism now saves you through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You are washed in the blood of the Lamb. Just like I said last week, baptism equals Jesus. Have confidence in the grace of God received at your baptism. Have confidence in the resurrection of the body. Jesus says in our gospel reading, because I live, you will live also. Again, have confidence in this word of promise. Faith comes by hearing, St. Paul says. It comes by hearing the external word of God. It comes from outside of you. And Paul writes in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, correcting, rebuking, etc. Have confidence in the Word of God. This is where God has chosen to speak to you. Have confidence in your baptism. This is where God has chosen to come to you. When doubts creep in, when your house doesn't feel very full today, say to yourself, say to anyone who will listen, I am baptized. In our confirmation questioning, I ask the confirmands each year, if Christ returned today, are you sure that you would be saved? And the best answer, which comes straight out of the catechism, is so wonderful to hear them say each year, yes, because I believe and I am baptized. And on those days when you're not feeling very full of the Spirit, say to yourself, I believe and I am baptized. Baptism now saves you. Your house is not empty, even when you're not feeling very full of the Spirit. It's like David's words from Psalm 51. Following the whole Bathsheba and Uriah the Hittite incident, David says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. David had been brought low by the words of the prophet Nathan, who showed him his sin. David was not feeling very full of the Spirit that day. Yet David knew the truth that God had not taken his Holy Spirit from him. David's sin, as high-handed and in-your-face as it was to God, his sin did not exclude him from the grace of God. David wrongfully took another man's wife and then killed the man to cover up his sin. But God did not take his Holy Spirit from him. God sent his prophet Nathan to speak his word to David in no uncertain terms. And David confesses his sin. And David receives God's gracious word of forgiveness from Nathan. In the same way, the absolution is spoken in the church today. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And we receive all of this through his word alone. Have confidence in this word. Baptism now saves you, because the word of God is combined with that water and comes to you. Paul then speaks of baptism as a washing of regeneration and renewal in the Holy Spirit, Titus chapter 3. Luther makes a big deal of this in his catechism. It is a washing of new life where you are filled with the Holy Spirit. Your house is not empty. Baptism now saves you. You are filled with the Spirit of truth. Have confidence in the Word of God. Have confidence in your baptism. Have confidence in the words of absolution. Have confidence in the God-breathed word of Scripture. Have confidence in the body and blood of Christ, broken and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sin. As the hymn writer says, Jesus is my confidence. Amen. Christ is risen. Alleluia. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.